Our second lesson today is from the New Testament. It's in the book of Philippians. We've been preaching in Matthew quite a bit these past few weeks, and now for the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at this letter to the church at Philippi written by the Apostle Paul. It's one of Paul's shorter letters. It's not nearly as long as, say, Romans or either of the Corinthians, but it's one of his most important, and there's two things to remember about it. One, it's his most optimistic offering. It's really one of the most joy-filled, sort of happy books in all of the New Testament. And yet, when Paul wrote this letter, he's sitting in a jail cell. So he's been arrested, was arrested several times, usually for disturbing the peace, because he was preaching the gospel and getting folks all whipped up. So anyway, that's what we find today. We have these verses 21 through 30 of Philippians chapter 1. So listen to these words as they come to us from the New Testament. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. I am to live in the flesh. That means if I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I don't know which I prefer. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. Since I am convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy in faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Only, live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent and hear about you, I will know that you are standing firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel, and are in no way intimidated by your opponents. For them, this is evidence of their destruction, but also of your salvation. And this is God's doing, for God has graciously granted you the privilege not only of believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well, since you are having the same struggle that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Now, these words from Paul, the Apostle Paul, from Philippians, verses 21 through the conclusion of chapter 1, they are for us this day the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts find acceptance in the sight of Almighty God, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So let me start with a question today. What is it that makes us worthy? What is it that makes us worthy to pray to God? Worthy to think that we might stand before God? Worthy to call ourselves children of God? Worthy to hope in God? Worthy to believe that we are forgiven, loved, and freed by the grace of God through the Lord Jesus Christ? What is it that makes us worthy? And then I started to think too, well, is it worthy, like with a question mark? Like, am I worthy? Am I worthy? Or is it like worthy with a period? Just, we are worthy. Or we are not worthy, just matter of fact. Or is it like an exclamation point? Let's say we've come to the conclusion that we're really worthy for living life in the manner of the gospel of Christ. Is it like an exclamation point? We shout it out, we raise the roof and tell everybody we know about it? What is it that makes us worthy? Which one? I ask the question because, of course, Philippians raises the question. One of the most beautiful and interesting little verses of the Bible, chapter 1, verse 27, only live your life worthy, worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then, as you heard me read on beyond that, I read past verse 27. If you were listening or reading along with me, you notice that the Apostle Paul doesn't actually say what that is, does not tell us how to do it. He moves on to other sets and other concerns, other things that are on his mind quite quickly. He just sort of drops it there, and we're left to try to figure out what he meant. And I think we can figure out what he meant. I think we can figure out what it means to be worthy through the way that we move and live and how we choose to dedicate ourselves to our God, the Creator, Christ, the Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, the Sustainer. Yeah, we can figure it out, although it does take a little figuring. So, according to the dictionary, or at least dictionary.com these days, worthy means, quote, having adequate or great merit, character, or value. Having great merit, character, or value. The one that I want to focus on is merit, because I think merit is what the apostle is talking about here. Merit is defined as a, quote, claim to respect and praise or excellent or worth, end quote. So merit is the award at graduation. Yeah. Merit is number one in sales for the quarter or the year. Merit's the gold watch, the valedictorian, the promotion, the employee of the month. Merit's making the team and then busting your way into the starting lineup. Yeah. And all those are good things. There's nothing wrong with yearning for those things. Merit has its value. It really does. Merit can be very good. But merit is not necessarily how God sees things. Remember, Jesus called the lowly and he called the fishermen. And if you read about the way that they bumble their way through the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll decide that none of the disciples ever got an award for anything. They didn't. They didn't. They were just average people. Most of them probably overwhelmed by everything that was placed on them quickly. See, they have no merit on their own. And that's not why Jesus chose them. Instead, they had the capacity to be faithful. We value merit, and merit can be tyrannical. It can. Whereas Jesus and God, they value faithfulness. As Presbyterians, we have believed since about the time that we came into being 500 or so years ago that merit is simply given by the grace of God through Jesus Christ. It is grace alone that makes us meritorious or worthy. We call this the doctrine of justification, which means that Jesus and our relationship with him justifies us to be forgiven people, children of God, to stand upright before God in this life and in the next. But justification isn't where it stops, because the Apostle Paul in Philippians, I think, is writing more about the doctrine of sanctification, which teaches us that we cannot earn God's love, but rather, once God's grace has been placed in our lives and our spiritual walks are supposed to be lived in response to God's grace, which has already been given. It tells us that once we know we are blessed by Jesus with forgiveness and acceptance, yes, once we know that, our purpose is then to try to live like him and walk in his footsteps in order to live as faithfully as we possibly can, loving our neighbors even when it's hard, telling the truth even when it's hard, and trying to avoid conscious acts of sin and shame even when that's hard too. Worthy? Worthy? Are we worthy? Am I worthy? Well, technically, each of us is made worthy by God through Jesus Christ and Christ's love for the world and all the people in it. No matter what our desire or pursuit of merit is, God loves us just as we are and then expects us to try to be our very best selves, always calling us to live into response to that which God has already given. And I think that poses another question. Which, if God has given us the freedom, the forgiveness for our errors, the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ, how do we not try? How do we make no effort at all to live in response to what we've been given and follow in the footsteps of Jesus Christ? And make no mistake, my friends, this is a hard question. But if we answer it well, if we decide that we are going to try to live our lives in worthy of the manner of the gospel of Christ, if we actually do that, that's what sets us off on the life of discipleship. That's what sets us into a life of service, both as individual people and as a church family. I'm reminded of something that the now late preacher and author Frederick Buechner wrote in his book, Wishful Thinking. He wrote these words, quote, "Some people think a Christian is one who necessarily does certain things, like going to church, getting baptized, reading the Bible, doing a good deed a day. Some think that a Christian is just a nice person." And then he says, "But a Christian is one who is on the way, though not necessarily very far along it, and who has at least some dim and half-baked idea of whom to thank. A Christian isn't necessarily nicer or better than anybody else, just better informed." End of quote. Better informed. Not as a note to any kind of superiority, but as a note to knowing who Jesus was and what he offers to all of us. So the question, worthy? Are we worthy? With the question mark? That's been answered. Christ makes us worthy. Been true for 2,000 years, and it's still true today. We are worthy, just like we are. But the Christians in the better informed part of the equation means that we must then take the teachings and parables of Jesus very seriously. We are called to walk in his way. That's why we ask every parent of every child who is baptized here at this congregation, will you teach this child the word of life and the ways of Christ? Because we are supposed to live our lives in service and celebration in the world to be as much like Jesus as we can. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about welcoming others, putting the welcome mat out, because Christians are supposed to be people who practice hospitality. Old friends, new friends, people we've seen lately, people we haven't seen for a while, we welcome others into our lives. And then last week, we talked about forgiveness and how hard it can be sometimes to forgive someone else when they've hurt us badly. So Christians practice hospitality, Christians forgive, and the lesson today from Philippians is that Christians walk in the way of Christ. We follow Jesus. We're supposed to be like him whenever we can. So the exclamation point is next, right? The exclamation point. Worthy with an exclamation point. I know I'm worthy. Was that the attitude we're supposed to have? I'd say that the only mistake greater than questioning the reality of grace in our lives, grace that is given by God and never earned on our own merit, is to be an arrogant person with the grace that we've been given, to be a boastful follower of Jesus. Most of the people that we meet in the Gospels are not arrogant at all. Most of them are humble and they are afraid. There's no one in the gospel that says, I know God has welcomed me and given me grace, so I don't have to worry about what I do or who I do it to in the world, because I'm worthy. No, that doesn't appear anywhere. And my guess is that we all know somebody who thinks that they love Jesus the most, a person who wears their piety on their sleeves or their righteousness on their chest like a badge. And there's nothing wrong with loving Jesus and telling others about it. Absolutely not. No. There is something wrong when we start to boast about our devotion to the Lord. Philippians is really clear on this point. It happens at verse 21. Then it happens a second time at verse 29. Right? It says there in Philippians, for Christ has graciously granted you the privilege of not only believing in Christ, but of suffering for him as well. We're not supposed to brag. We're supposed to sacrifice. And that means giving our gifts of time and faith and resources much more giving than we are boasting in our faith or salvation. That only leaves us with the period, as in worthy, period. You're worthy. I'm worthy. We're worthy. Right? Like we said 2 weeks ago, welcoming others, yes. Last week, forgiving others, yes. This week, following in the way of Christ. A love of Christ is what we have been given that helps us to be confident but not arrogant is essential to the Christian life as well. The period counts. Statement, matter of fact, worthy of being children of God because of the person of Jesus, but not bragging about it. You can't come to any other conclusion to this question if you read Philippians. This is the option and the opportunity that it has given us. God loves us, friends, and is gracious to us. And that's what makes us worthy. Not our accomplishments, not our merit. And then our lives are dedicated to faith and service and thanksgiving to God in response to God's grace. This is one of the oldest and best things that our Presbyterian ancestors taught us, that all of life is lived in light of the grace of God and the gratitude that we express back to God. Grace and gratitude. It's like the rhythm of the Christian life itself. The question is how far can God go? Like, can grace reach anybody? And the answer is yes. I'll tell you that 30 years ago when I started seminary, I didn't think I was very worthy of being a pastor. I had very little interest in it because I didn't think I was good enough, holy enough, pious enough. I mean, I played college football. I have said some terrible things to people in my past. I have. And most of the people that were there were pretty serious people. They had read a lot more scripture than me when I started. Right? I was way, way behind. So I decided I was going to be a college professor or do something like that. Like, that's what I'll do. But then one day I was asked to preach a sermon down in Norfolk, Virginia, this little Presbyterian church that was between pastors. And I think they sent a letter to every student, like, we'll pay you $150 if you come and preach. And I didn't have any money, so I said, I'll go do that. And on the way there, on the way back, I listened to the words that I was preaching. I was practicing it in my head. And I realized that I didn't have to be worthy. I just had to know that God would be with me if I responded to that call. God gave me grace. It wasn't asking for perfection, just asking for faithfulness. Grace. Confess my faults and be faithful. Not needing to be worthy on my own, only needed to have grace and gratitude. Right? Grace and gratitude. And I'm so glad that I learned that lesson. Either in Norfolk or on the way back, the way there. I don't know. But it changed the life of that 25-year-old that I was many, many years ago. You'll find out this Wednesday night if you come and hear our theologian in residence, Karen Wright Marsh. She'll be here talking about a book she wrote called Vintage Saints and Sinners. And this pattern of God calling ordinary people who then live through grace and gratitude and do great things in the world for God, right? It's repeated over and over and over again in the history of the church and in human history. I mean, the most inspiring Christian people, it turns out, are people just like us, living and breathing in the grace of God and expecting gratitude for what has been done with them. Living the rhythm of the Christian life. That's true not just of individuals, it's true of institutions too. It's true of churches. That's why we have a vision plan here. You're going to hear me talk a lot about the vision plan for the next 5 years, because we don't want to take the grace and the opportunity and the gifts that God has given us as a congregation and just say, oh, well, let's just throw some spaghetti on the wall and let's see what sticks. No, we don't want to do that. Instead, we want to be as faithful as we can, living out of gratitude to all the things that God has given us here. That's the lesson, friends. How do we live lives worthy of the gospel? Well, we love one another, we serve one another, and we live all of our days grateful for who God is and what Jesus has done for us. So we say thanks be to God for the gift of Christ Jesus our Lord. And we call upon all of us, each of us, to live faithful lives, lives lived worthy, worthy of the gospel of Christ, living like people who know exactly what it is that we've been given. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, may you be blessed this day and always. Amen. Go in peace this day to love and serve the Lord and love and serve one another. Go from this place confident in the knowledge that in the love of God we have each of us been made and created. In the love of God each of us has been redeemed through the mercy of Christ our Lord. And in the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, we can be inspired to go and do God's work in the world. So go and let us offer nothing less this week. Amen, amen, and amen.